Good morning, Boker Tov. Welcome back to Living with Emunah. Great to be back together. I'm glad the rain didn't keep you away. Okay, kept some away. Everyone is where they're meant to be. Emunah series is generously sponsored by Dr. Davi and Bella Morgan in memory of Rabbi Dr. Brian Galbit and in memory of Bella's mother. We remain tremendously grateful. Dr. Alan Chen, we remain tremendously grateful to the Morgans for their generosity. Also, the series is sponsored anonymously in memory of the fallen soldiers and alumni of Bnei David, Mechina, and Yeshiva, and Eli. We continue to daven from the bottom of our heart. The soldiers who recently injured in Lebanon, Rabbi Chaim ben Meirav, Ariel ben Eti, Metana ben Sivya, David ben Ziva, Liam ben Ruth ben Revital, Eitan David ben Tova, Matan Mordechai ben Meira, should have a complete, speedy, and painless refuah shlema. Two additional young men who were injured, Dekel ben Vered and Hillel ben Shulamit. We should hear only good news in Beseros Tovus. This morning, Shir, sponsored by Eve Marks in honor of her grandparents, by Josh and Talia Zitzuk, with Nishmas Chava Vicha Bishna Vas Mordechai Yitzchak, dear cousin Vicky Froelich, who taught so many how to live with Emunah, by Tzivia Cooper in commemoration of her father, Dr. Daniel Mandro, David Nasan Nata ben Alter, Michal Vesimayanta, on his third year at Sai. By the Berkowitz family of Miami Beach, Leinishmas Ravam Abba ben Reb Moshe Chaim, memory of the great Abby Berkowitz on his second year at site, really a great man, part of our extended family, sorely missed. Everyone should find comfort in his neshama shav and aliyah. And anonymously for the Fuhr Shleim, an easy, smooth recovery for Esther, Pinny, Bas, Pesel, Brindel. Thank you to everyone for their tremendous generosity. Okay, let's get started. We have so much to cover. Emails, Torah, back into Rav David Buchatzir is a wonderful sefer. So much to get into. I don't know if the mic is picking it up because I never put it on. Okay. See how that goes. Okay. First, I want to share three brilliant Emunah emails from myself to myself. On a recent trip earlier this week to New York, three great things happened. I made a little note to myself. I just made notes. I didn't write it out because I thought I would know what I was talking about. So let's see if I was right. So first of all, on the plane, Baruch Hashem Yechev and I traveled for a simcha in New York this week. And on the plane, I'm sitting next to somebody, not recognizably Jewish, not obviously Jewish. And he's sitting next to me and he makes some comment. I don't know how he knew I was Jewish, but he made some comment. and he said, terrible what's happening in Israel. Terrible what's going on with Iran. I said, yeah, it's really terrible. And, you know, we're praying and miracles are happening. He said, yeah, my partner is Israeli. I said, okay, he's not Jewish. His partner is Israeli. Tell me more. What do you do? We do real estate. Okay, very nice. Then he's FaceTiming with his wife before we take off. And his wife, with an accent, says something about, I just finished my prayers. So I didn't think she was Jewish. Frankly, she sounded like she might be Muslim. She took her prayers. He's interested. Okay, good. Nice guy. Good conversation. Then he turns to me and he says, I'm a Hagba specialist. I didn't know what he was talking about either. So he explains, since he's a big, strong guy, since he's 13 years old, he specializes in doing Hagba. He likes to lift the Torah. And he tells me his wife was born in Turkey but grew up in Israel, is Israeli. Maybe that's his partner. I don't know, business, or that was his wife, his partner. Anyway, all of it was a great conversation. Turns out he was Jewish, was lovely, made a new friend. But the best part is he must have texted his wife because he said to me, what do you do? I said, I'm a rabbi, he's shulam, synagogue in Boca Raton. We had a whole conversation. And in the middle of the flight, he shows me a text from his wife that God put you in a seat next to the rabbi. That's where you're supposed to be. I thought, wow. Isn't that great? So for now on, his wife is giving the Emunah shir. She's anyway, that was Emunah story number one on the way up. It was really a great story. Then Yechev and I went to the wedding and we pulled up. And we're in traffic because it was Brooklyn. And we're trying to park to get to the wedding. And in the car in front of us, on the back of the car, is a magnet. And the magnet says, you are where you're meant to be. And on top of it, it says, Emunah Shir. Emunah Shir, you are where you're meant to be. I said to Yocheved, what a coincidence. Somebody in Brooklyn gives a shir where they say, you are where you're meant to be. Okay. I thought maybe that person, you know, the greatest form of flattery. Okay, but you are where you're meant to be. Emunah Shir, interesting magnet. After the chuppah, woman comes over to me and she says, you know, Rabbi, I love the shir. I listen every week. In Brooklyn, all the cars look the same. You can never find your own car. So I made myself a magnet from the shir and I put it on the back of the car so I can always find my car. So people are making their own magnets. You are where you're meant to be. Emunah Shir. Amazing. She came up to me. Amazing story number two. And then the next morning, I had to go to a bank. Don't ask why. In Clifton, New Jersey, we were staying at my daughter in Passaic. Had to go to a bank there, take care of something. Had to be out of the state of Florida. A bank there. I walk in, and a woman who's at the bank says, "Hello, Rabbi Goldberg." I said, "Hi." She said, "I live part of the year in Deerfield." I said, "Wonderful." She says, "My husband used to love to come to the afternoon kollel at BRS. He came to this year." I said, "Don't remind me, tell me who your husband is." She says, "We're from Texas." He's very tall. I said, "The big Texan." Of course I knew her husband. Such a special man. So amazing. I started to tell her all about your husband had the biggest heart. He was always so warm and welcoming. I remember, I said to her, "I remember your husband loved the tshuvas of Rav Moshe Feinstein. He would love to talk about tshuvas of Moshe Feinstein." She got a little emotional. She said to me, "You know," she said, "today is my husband's yahrzeit. And what are the odds that Hashem would have me run into you in a bank in Clifton, New Jersey at this time?" Right then, at that moment, had to be in a bank in Clifton, New Jersey to run into her, on her husband's yahrzeit to tell her nice things about her husband. And that's it. Those were the three emails I wrote myself. Those are my Emunah stories of this week. Every week we all have our own. You can write yourself, by the way. It doesn't make you crazy. You can write yourself. It's important to remind ourselves, to write ourselves, to review. Hamanti kiadaber. We grow our Emunah. The more we talk about Emunah, the more we tell Emunah, the more we share Emunah stories with each other, with our family, with one another, then the more Emunah there is. Our daughter was in Israel, Yerushalayim, last week. She was going out of her mind. She was packing, trying to get in for Pesach. Her two little kids, Baruch Hashem, Kenai and Nahara. I learned their ages since last week. They were driving, trying to get it all done. Plus, she's still working full-time, her seminary. And just at that moment, she felt like, "I don't know how I could do this all. I don't know how I'm going to get it all done." There's a knock on the door. Her first cousin lives in Bechem, was in Yerushalayim, stopped by to say hi. I said, "Let me take care of the kids. You go do what you need to do." But in our chat, our Hashkacha brought this family a minute. Hashkacha, right at that moment that she needed it, a knock on the door. Eliyahu Anavi came, Chayla Price, right in the moment that she needed it. You got to have a family, Hashkacha Pratis. And if you don't have it for your family, have it for yourself. Tell yourself Emunah stories. Tell yourself, keep a journal, a personal journal of the times you saw Hashem throughout the day. It's unbelievable. Get into the Uber yesterday, go to the airport to come back, and an African-American driver in the Uber, I hear Mordechai Shapiro music. I said, "What's going on over here?" So I said to him, "Is this your playlist? You enjoy this music?" And he said, with an accent like he came from the islands, "I like to see my clients and put on the music they'll enjoy." Now, turns out he was a better DJ than a driver. Practically at the Bench Goma when we got to LaGuardia Airport. But it was very kind, very lovely. Hashkacha Hashem, amazing. I got to go to the airport with Mordechai Shapiro. Okay, now to other people's emails now that we covered my own. My daughter left some textbooks in the kitchen breakfast area. The books were there for months and did not move, so I assumed she didn't need them. She had another set at school for other reasons, so in a cleaning spree a few weeks ago, called Pesach, I got rid of those books. Oops, last night she came and said, "Where are the books?" I was putting away Pesach groceries in the basement, so I said I'd look for the books when I was done. Of course, I knew where they were. They were gone. But Hashem had sorted out the problem. A colleague had texted me 2 weeks ago asking if I wanted a huge stack of textbooks her kids were done with. Given they're expensive, I said, "Yes. Thank you very much." In that stack were the same copies of the ones that were missing last night. Thank you, Hashem, for solving this and avoiding a very angry teenager. It's the little things that are really also the big things. Little things, the little wink, the little nod, the little hug from Hashem, they make us feel good. Dear Rabbi Goldberg, thank you for the Emunah Shiurim because they really helped me get through difficult times. I live in Israel. Every year my parents make Pesach at home. Two of my mom's sisters live in America. My mom's brother lives in Israel like us, along with my grandparents. In honor of my grandparents' 50th anniversary, my sister's bat mitzvah, my cousin's bar mitzvah, my cousin's bat mitzvah, my grandparents planned to take the whole family away in Israel for Pesach. This would have been the first time my parents didn't have to make Pesach. We were all looking forward to it all year. We don't get to spend too much time with our family in America. Although I wish I could say the story is a happy ending where everyone is able to come, unfortunately my cousins decided to cancel because of the war. My family and I are very disappointed. Instead of spending Pesach away with our cousins, we'll be home. Even though it's disappointing, Baruch Hashem, I'm able to see that I am where I'm meant to be. So is the rest of my family. I understand, even though I can't see right now, why Hashem wants me to be home for Pesach. It must be the right place. Mitzvah Hashem will all be zochah to be in Yerushalayim together this Pesach. Absolutely, and kol hakavod. It was very gratifying, satisfying, also an honor and a chiyuv. But I've heard from many, many, many people who've tried to travel to Israel, from Israel, within Israel, that embrace your place, that language, that lashon is making the rounds. And it's nice to hear that the refuah before the makkah, we learned last week, about that remarkable, remarkable woman, Ms. Biton, who lost three of her four children, and said, faith is not born in a day. Faith is not discovered in a day. You have to be working on it your whole life so that when you need it, that emunah muscle is there, it's strong, it can lift you, support you, and it can carry you. So we've been learning. We've been saying, embrace your place where we're meant to be. What's our mission in this moment? What's next for us? Because little did we know we'd need to draw from that bank account we've been making deposits into in those moments that we have to embrace. We are where we're meant to be. But I'll follow up that email with the next one. Dear Rabbi Goldberg, hope you're doing well. I'm in seminary in Israel this year. I was planning to come home for Pesach, but the war and recent flight cancellations, things have been pretty uncertain. I'm not sure what's going to happen. I know I'm really lucky to be here in Israel. Seminary has been very special. At the same time, I was really hoping to be with my family for Pesach. It's a little hard emotionally trying to figure out how to think about everything. I'm trying to understand how much hashtadlus I should be putting in trying to get home, and at what point I should stop pushing so hard and just trust whatever happens is what Hashem wants. So that's a great question. And this person is not the only one who asked it. I got it from several people. And it's the question that we've examined and we've studied and we're still studying because there is no clear answer. You open up the Shulchan Aruch and there is no siman and sif that tells you, here's hashtadlus. Here's how much effort to put in for your health, how much effort in shidduchim, how much effort in business, how much effort in trying to arrange a flight home. There's no clear spelled out definition of effort. And so I'll draw from the principles that we tried to share, which are what's reasonable. If you do less than the reasonable amount of effort, then you may not be leaning on emunah, you might be leaning and waiting for a miracle. If you take excessive effort, you do too much initiative and effort, then where's your emunah? Then you think it's all up to you. You think you're in charge and you're in control and you need to make space and recognize that really it's up to Hashem. So the answer is always, what is a reasonable, we're going to get into this more, what is a reasonable amount of effort? What is a reasonable amount of initiative? In this case, for those who are trying to arrange tickets in both directions, but whatever their plans were, a reasonable amount of effort is an insane effort. Anything less than storming the counters of El Al in the airport, on the phones, on WhatsApp, on website, and you are unlikely. Anything less than filling out every link from every group, from every person you ever heard of, to get on every list, to have any chance of getting where you want to go, is too little effort. So reasonable effort in this case happens to be what ordinarily otherwise would be excessive. But that's reasonable. But once you do that, and I've been in contact with many who have been doing that, once one does that and says, I filled out the links, I followed the suggestions, I made the phone calls, I sat on hold, I asked for what I asked for, at this point, then you let go and let God. At that point, you embrace your place and your mission in the moment. You say, however it will turn out to be is where I meant to be, where I was meant to spend time. What is the alternative? I say this every week to you. Can't believe you come back. What is the alternative? What is the alternative to embracing your place? Denying your place? Living with regret, disappointment, frustration, anger, that won't change your place. That doesn't get you on a flight. That doesn't bring your family together for Pesach. That doesn't change your reality. All it does is sacrifice your mental health and sanity, your physical health and well-being. All it does is drive you crazy. But when you take a deep breath and with a smile you say, we'll find out on this adventure what's next. We'll find out on this next journey, on this next encampment, which really is itself a journey, as we wrote about in our article this week. What's the alternative to it? And so what is the right amount, I think, is whatever is reasonable. And each circumstance, time, and place will determine and dictate what is reasonable. So what's reasonable ordinarily is different than what's reasonable in extraordinary circumstances. We are in extraordinary circumstances and times, and there's a different amount of what's considered to be reasonable. Baruch Hashem, Bli Ayin Hara, one of our children, already came back, and the other right now is on the third leg of her trip, from Tel Aviv to Athens, Athens to Munich, Munich to Miami. And Baruch Hashem, that's ordinarily, imagine your seminary student, you say, I booked you a ticket home for Pesach. You're going to be going to Athens, to Munich, to Miami. You're going to stay in an Airbnb far from the airport. They'd look at you and they'd say, Are you kidding me? In these times, they say, thank you so much. How'd you get that? I can't believe it. How did you manage it? How'd you get that? Thank you so much. The times dictate what's reasonable, what's ordinary, and what's extraordinary, and therefore our effort should commence. Hi, here's our Amuna in real time. I brought three of my teenage daughters to Boca last week for a two-day mini vacation. Two conditions were, we had to wake up early to see a sunrise, daven by the ocean, and we had to go to the Amuna Shir at 9 a.m. They loved the class. Fast forward 12 hours, it was time to board our flight back. Delay after delay until the captain announced that we would be diverted and that our airport was closed until 2:30 a.m. Either wait around to get back or exit the plane. We kept quoting Rabbi Goldberg's mantra, being stuck is also part of the journey. So we got off and called my husband, who was in London. We woke him up bright and early, and he told us to Uber to Lakewood and worry about the parked car in Newark parking lot the next day. 10 minutes later, he called to thank us. Because we woke him in the middle of the night, he checked his own flight, and he saw it was canceled. He was able to reschedule because of the crazy hour. He got on a different flight. We got the Amuna punchline. The girl said, you must send an email to the Amuna Shir. Our delay caused my husband to get able to get out of London. Chag Kosher v'sameach. Beautiful, those little moments where you could say, this was annoying and frustrating, but I found out why, and it worked out. Often we don't. Sometimes it takes a long time. Sometimes that happens fairly quickly. In those moments, it's a hug, it's a wink, embrace from Hashem. I write this letter at 9 o'clock at night on a Tuesday after realizing I lost my wallet. That's in the chapter in the book on the lost wallets. It's a growing chapter. After frantically looking around for several minutes and realizing my wallet was nowhere to be found, I quickly called the gymnastics arena that I was at with my daughter, only to realize they were closed. There was no one to speak to. I know many people have written to you about something like this before. As an avid listener to the podcast, top 1% on Spotify, I might add. Yes, it's a flex. I realized I had not lost my wallet for any reason other than I was supposed to. Instead of freaking out, worrying, and literally losing sleep, I decided I was going to use my Amuna muscle, which is probably as big as one of Arnold Schwarzenegger's biceps. And instead of being a warrior, I would be a warrior. I left a message at the front desk voicemail, because after all, we have to do our Shtadlis. And then I let go and let God. Writing this email now, I have no idea if I will find my wallet or not. I very well may have to call the credit card companies to cancel my cards, get a new driver's license, replace some cash. But okay, I'm always also aware that I may be able to write a follow-up to this part tomorrow morning, saying that when I woke up, I got a call telling me they had my wallet with all its contents. Either way, it's for the best. I love this email that's in the middle, in real time. We don't know how the story ends. Because Amuna and Hashgacha Pratis are not only, and I lost my wallet, it was perfect, because when I went there, someone had a heart attack, I gave them CPR, brought them back to life. We don't know. We don't know. The better Amuna stories, because life, in real life, it doesn't always have that happy ending. In real life, you can't always tie a neat bow around it. In real life, we don't always find out why this was perfect and meant to be. Often it's frustrating, but that too is Hashgacha Pratis. That too. As I'm writing this, I'm remembering something that happened to me earlier today. I'm a physician's assistant in New York. Today in the hospital, my morning rounds, something happened. I went to go see one of my patients' schedule. I walked in the room to find a book open on their table. It's not an abnormal occurrence, but something told me to look again. Closer inspection, the book on the table was a Bible. The patient was not Jewish, also happened to be in a comatose state, so seeing an open book and a Bible in front of them seemed rather out of place. I stopped, and before examining the patient, I looked at the pages the Bible were open. As I looked down, I couldn't believe it. There it was. It was open to the book of Psalms. Can you guess which psalm it was open to? That's right. Psalm 23. Remember this now gives me chizik that no matter whether I find my wallet or not, no matter the outcome, Hashem is in charge and it's all for the good. Thank you for the weekly words of inspiration for helping me even in the small and silly moments have peace and tranquility. I hope you're proud. I am proud of you. I hope you're proud of me. I know I am. And P.S. I'll let you know. Please do. Let us know how that turns out. I am proud of him and he should be proud of himself. Because in those moments when we, in fact, use our Amuna muscle, and we're learning in Tanya, we just learned this morning, the competition, the fight between the head and the heart, the ego and the Elokus, who are we? What defines us? How do we react? Are we impulsive? Do we indulge our animal impulse, our ego? Or are we able to reign supreme, to be sovereign, to have discipline for our godly soul to dictate what we'll do in that moment? And each time, whether we turn down the Cape Cod potato chips at midnight, or whether we choose to not, in his words, freak out and lose our cool over a lost wallet, when we in fact express our godly soul and it defeats our animal impulse, be proud. We should be proud in that moment. Should be proud. Something to be proud about. That is what we're meant to do. That is what we're working on and what we're fighting. Dear Rabbi Goldberg, start listening to your Amuna series. I love hearing the darshanin of the emails in the beginning. I appreciate the story doesn't need to have a traditional happy ever after ending. About 5 weeks ago, on Motzei Shabbos, the Shadchan reached out to let me know that a boy was interested in meeting me. After taking a quick look at his resume, I had a feeling there might be potential. References were called on my behalf. Everything pointed to this being a wonderful idea. He didn't just sound great on paper. Meeting him confirmed he truly was. We continued to date for a few weeks, and although we were still getting to know each other, I was grateful to Hashem for the opportunity to spend time with someone who was a true mensch. One day, while we were out to eat, he suggested we cross-reference our genetic testing results. I tested 1 year ago. When the genetic counselor called with my results, she reassured me I had nothing to worry about. Everyone carries something, and my something was rare, non-life-threatening, unlikely I'd run into any problems. As I was telling the boy that I usually forget to even ask about results because I have nothing to worry about, he pulled out his own report. It revealed he carries the exact same gene. I couldn't believe this. I was shocked, but managed to reason with myself that it would probably be fine because after all, it wasn't life-threatening. That, of course, was a major oversimplification of the situation, because when thinking about one's future children, there's more to consider than at least they will live. We scheduled a call with a genetic counselor, hoping there might be some reassuring perspective. Unfortunately, it wasn't the case. As limited research has been done in this area, leaving us with a decision to make, I wish the story had a better ending, but we decided it wouldn't be responsible to take the chance given the gap in research. Needless to say, it was incredibly disappointing. According to the screening data, the US, UK, France, Australia, New Zealand, approximately 14 in 100,000 have this gene, 0.01% of the population. Of course, it's an oversimplification as the gene is more prevalent in Ashkenazi communities. Still, I couldn't help but think, I am genetically compatible with 99.99% of the population, and the great boy I'm dating happens to fall into the 0.01%. Despite this, even with the disappointment, I was overcome with the feeling that it is such a bracha to end things with someone on such good terms. For whatever reason, we weren't meant to continue our relationship. Rather than feel hurt, which so often happens when a relationship of substantial length ends, there's something deeply, deeply comforting about knowing this wasn't about choice or mistakes. It was simply a reality neither of us could change. There's a certain comfort in feeling this was completely out of our hands. So I don't know why Hashem had me meet such a special person without the chance of it working out. I also don't look back at our time spent together as a waste. On the contrary, something could be a bracha even if it wasn't meant to last. I don't have the full hindsight now, but I know that everything's for a reason. Hashem will give us both the right person in the right time. Thank you so much. What a powerful email. I actually followed up with her because I suggested there are PGD, pre-implantation genetic diagnosis. There are ways that even when someone, two are carriers, for whatever reason, they chose not to pursue that. And of course, that's their right. But I'm wowed by her strength, by that strength to interpret that way. How many others would say, God, where are you? How could you? I don't need you. I don't want you. Why would you? Instead, she says, I'm comforted to know. What emunah. So powerful. And we can draw. Again, we can join on the hotspot of those who are on fire with emunah to help grow and strengthen and increase ours. Okay, one more, and then we'll get back into our learning. So many good ones. I want to start by saying thank you for the shiur. I found your shiur on Apple Podcasts. Spotify was not the shadchan this time. About a year ago, and started listening at part 294 and made my way through the shiurim. And now I'm all caught up. I'm now going back to part one. I'm trying to catch up entirely. I've gained so much chizuk. I had many times the shiur I was listening would connect with something happening that day and inspire and strengthen me. I'm in my mid-20s and live with a chronic illness that affects people both physically and mentally. It's not easy. I've been through ups and downs, many, many downs, even after I thought there were nowhere lower to go. Been to doctors, have tests and appointments. I've tried medications and treatments, spent money, time, effort to heal. Baruch Hashem, I've made improvements. I'm now dealing solely with physical illness and not struggling with the mental. Here's my question. Let's darshan this as we dive back in. While going through so much, I've become a much stronger and more mature person. I've also lost my connection to Hashem through tefillah. After getting so many no's, or more accurately, yeses that I translated into no's, it's gotten too hard to daven and ask and not see the Yeshua that I need. I don't daven formally every day. I don't daven shacharis or mincha. Even on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, I struggle. When I do try, I have a very hard time getting the words out. Speaking the words has become too much, especially with formal prayer. I resign myself to only informal, talking to Hashem in my own words, but even this is too hard. At this point, I don't even say the words out loud. I just think them. I have my time of day where I sit down and think all my tefillos, my thank yous to Hashem, everything I want to tell Him, ask of Him, and go through my day with Him. Given that tefillah is so powerful and loved by Hashem, I wish I could at least be able to daven verbally and even more to daven formal. I'd be grateful for any chizuk or guidance the Rav could offer on this. Another powerful email. Here's somebody who spent a life in chronic pain and understandably is struggling to connect through tefillah and doesn't say, I get a pass, I'm exempt, I pay the price, I give to God in my own ways. She says, I miss it, I long for it, could you give me chizuk so I could get back to it? People are extraordinary. People are amazing. And people are an inspiration to us. If we open our eyes and we see and we listen and we follow and we friend, I don't mean online, offline, people, they're amazing. So number one, if you're listening, you are amazing. You're amazing. And the other person says, She writes, I'm struggling. I don't daven. I really want to daven again. I do set a time every day where I sit disconnected from everything else. And I think what I'm grateful to Hashem for, what I ask Him for, what I need, but I don't daven. I don't daven. That is the holiest and highest. That is the deepest and most authentic. That is the most sacred form of tefillah there is. The rest of davening that we do is so we can get to that level of that davening. So Hashem says, open the sitter and say this text, because even when you're not going to feel like it, even when you think you have nothing to say, even when you're not in the mood, I want to make sure we keep the channel of communication open. But the real davening takes place between the lines of the sitter. The most authentic and the most real davening happens when the sitter is closed. We're talking to Him from our heart. We're pleading and talking. When we're in conversation, when we're expressing gratitude, when we're thankful, that is the most real, the most, that is the highest level of tefillah that there is. So you, if you're listening, should not think I'm not davening. You should know that you are davening. Halavai, our davening would reach the level of your davening. Okay, you also miss the will and the want to open a sitter and say those words. Talk to Him for it. Ask Him for it. And get back to it slowly. Open the sitter and say one line and close the sitter. Open the sitter while you talk to meditate. Don't even look in it, and then close it. Do little things, small incremental growth, advance, progress, little by little, and you'll be back. And ask Him, in those conversations that you think aren't davening but are the highest level of davening, ask Him, Hashem, I don't feel, I don't connect, I don't want right now to open the sitter to talk to you, but please help me come back because I miss it. Help me, talk and ask for it. That's exactly what we're learning in Shari Tefillah. Rav David Abuchatzera, I gave you handouts. This is the till the end of this chapter. And after this, we're going to go to another piece. We're going to learn something from the Gerer Rosh Hashiva together. But I want to get to it. It's going to still take a little bit of time. But he's been telling us, talk daven for davening. Ask for emuna. It sounds paradoxical. It's counterintuitive. But it works. And it's right. And it's righteous. So number one, know that you are davening. And number two, daven to daven. That's what we say. Hashem Sfasai Tiftach. Maybe say those words, even when you don't feel like opening the sitter, for now. Hashem Sfasai Tiftach, Ufi Yagid Tehila Secha. That's a pasuk in Tehillim. It's a pasuk in Tehillim. David HaMelech himself. Why did David say that? He must have hit a wall where he said, I can't open my lips. I don't want to daven. David HaMelech, don't think you're alone. Don't think you're the first. And don't feel ashamed or guilty for it. David HaMelech, King David, the great author, the great poet, the one who gave us all of Tehillim and most of our davening. David HaMelech himself said, Hashem Sifasai Tiftach, open my lips. I don't feel like I don't want to. I don't feel adequate or eligible. I don't feel worthy of talking to you. So I need your help. Hashem Sifasai Tiftach. So when we're not in the mood or we don't feel right or we don't feel worthy, say those words even without opening the sitter. That opening line that we normally introduce our Shemona Esrei, our Amidah with, say those words. Hashem Sifasai Tiftach. Hashem, I don't feel like it, but help me. Move my lips. Open my mouth. Help me. Hashem Sifasai Tiftach. Pitch Kuf Lamed Vav. We're back, Rav David Abuchatzera. Kuf Lamed Vav. Va'akein Dorshe B'Gemara. Top of the left-hand column. Gemara Nivamas Daf Kufay. Ha'mispalel Tzorach She'itein Einav Lamata V'Libo Lamala. When someone davens, you put your eyes down and your heart up. Einav Lamata, your eyes down. She'b'mashe Roa Be'einav Yedai Lo. V'zel Inyani Mata She'minan Gashmas. When it comes to the gashmis, the here and now, the material, the physical, so a person should be gratified and satisfied with what they have. What I have is what I need. What I have is what's meant for me. I can work and try and take reasonable initiative to have more. But after I do, when I look and take inventory of what I have is from Hashem. What I have is what I meant to have. What I have is what's right for me. Einav lamata. When you're davening, when it comes to gashmis, when it comes to the physical and material, look down. But libo lamala, but your heart should be up. Bidvarim shebalev, b'ra'usa d'liba. When it comes to matters of the heart, b'ra'usa d'liba. Sham yaliba l'malach sov l'shtokek, od va'od b'lo gvul mida achetich l'nafshal alokav. When it comes to ruchnia, spirituality, then don't look down and say, yeah, I'm spiritual enough. I have enough emunah, I daven enough, I'm religious enough, I'm kosher enough, I'm Shabbos enough. No, when it comes to liba, when it comes to your heart, when it comes to your spiritual health, Ain of Lamala, Liba Lamala, look up. Can always have more, always growing, always advancing, always progress, always more, more, more. Never done, never finished, never complacent, never apathetic. Always more. What's next? What's next? How can we grow? We're never finished. We're never done. We're never done. Always. We get it backwards. We get it completely backwards. Too many of us, not all of us. But we get it backwards. When it comes to the material, the physical, we say, never enough. I want more. Buy the next thing. Work hard for more money. Get more of a return on the money I have. More, more, more. We never meet with our financial advisor and say, good, Shine. Yeah, good. We say, wait, 1 second, but the market did better than your investments. Why did we miss out on what the market got? Why don't we have more? Why aren't we making more? I need my money to make more money for me. We go to our boss and we don't say, boss says, I'd like to talk to you about a potential raise. No, I'm good. I'm good. What do I have? Yeah, more, more. I need a raise. I need a promotion. I need more. I need more. I need more. We never say the car hit 100,000 miles. I'm good. Let's take it to 200,000. We say, what's the new model? I need more. I need the latest. We never look at the phone that we have and we say, it makes calls. It's connected. It's good enough. No, there's a new model. What are the latest features? You got to download the latest iOS, the newest version. I need more and latest. When it comes to the physical material world, we're never satisfied. We want more and more and more. But when it comes to spirituality, say, would you come with me to the shiur? Enough already. Been going my whole life. I went to enough shiurim. I heard enough drushes. I read that parsha enough times. I've said enough Shemona Esra. Enough already. No, it's good enough. It's good enough. Whatever time I make it to shul, good enough. However much part of davening I don't talk, good enough. The hechsherim, yeah, it's good enough. It's a shape. It's got a K in it. It's good enough. It's got some Hebrew writing on it. It's good enough. When it comes to the material physical world, it's never enough. We always want more. When it comes to the spiritual world, it's enough. Our children, they better not become tufrim. Can't become tufrim. They have to stay just like us. Not too much, not too little. There was a famous comedian who had a line about the people who drive next to you on the highway. If they drive faster than you, they're a maniac. And if they drive slower than you, they're an imbecile. They have to drive exactly the speed you go. So if the speed limit is 50, if you're from New York, another reason to move to Florida, the mayor just lowered the speed limit today to 15 miles an hour. I don't know why, where, what, whatever. Some say just so he collect more tickets. I don't know. I don't know what, but whatever the speed limit is, 50. So if you drive 52, anyone goes faster is a maniac, slower is an imbecile. If you drive 59, anyone who goes faster is a maniac, and slower is everything in life. Everyone has to be just like you. So your children, 9 o'clock minyan Shabbos morning, usually get there at 9:15. If they come there at 9:16, what's the matter with them? If they got there at 9:14, so frum, so right wing, so fanatical, what happened? They flipped out. They have to come exactly when you came. Talk in the parts of davening exactly when you talk. Eat out exactly where you're willing to eat out. Do exactly what you do. Everyone's so worried, so fearful, so afraid. The children are going to flip out. What's going to happen? It's the greatest bracha in the world, you children. It's the greatest bracha. Look at this world and look at the direction people can go. I love to quote my uncle, Rabbi Eli Lazar, Zichrono Levracha, my beloved, my wonderful uncle. My uncle used to say, at a bris, we say, Zeakatan gadol yiyeh. Zeakatan, may this katan be a gadol. May this katan grow up, be a gadol. You're at the bris, you hope to be at the bar mitzvah. You go from being a katan to a gadol. Zeakatan gadol yiyeh. So my uncle would add, Zeakatan gadol mimeni yiyeh. May this katan right now, he's so small, he doesn't know, he's not mature, he's not developed, he's not advanced, he's not observant, he's a little pitzkel, a little nothing. Gadol, may he become greater than I am. Not just may he become a gadol, gadol mimeni yiyeh. Zeakatan gadol mimeni yiyeh. Is there a greater brach on the world for us than our children? To be bigger tamid chachamim, to have more yiras Hashem, to have greater midos, to give more tzedakah, to live with more patience, to be a better husband, a better wife, a better mother, a better father. We want them to surpass us. There's something deeply wrong of a parent who says they want their child to be exact. Don't make more money. Don't be smarter. Don't be frummer, for sure not. No, that's wrong. That's wrong. Chazal said, the Gemara says, L'chol adam mekana, a person can be jealous of everybody. Chutz mi b'no v'talmido. You can be jealous of everybody but your children and your students. They're zel bezach, they're one and the same. Your students are meant to be your children. They're supposed to be, the feeling you have is the same. So you could and should never, ever be jealous of your children, of your children. You want them to surpass us. We should want them to surpass us. So we get it totally backwards. When it comes to the physical material world, more, more, next, latest, greatest, I want more. Spiritually, I'm good. I'm good. Good where I was. I'm good with the length of my Shemona Esrei. I'm good with my understanding of the parasha. I'm good with the level of tzedakah. I'm good with the amount of chesed I'm doing. I'm good. But we get it backwards. It should be exactly the opposite. Yitin Einav Lamata Velibo Lamala. We learned last week. That we learned that a person should the opposite. When it comes to the material physical, I work hard, trying to earn and have more. But whatever I have, I'm good. It's what I'm meant to have. But when it comes to spiritually, I'm never good. Never good. Liba lamala. Always looking up. Always more and more. Where can I add? Where can I grow? Where can I progress? What can I do more? Tefillah ba'ofen zeh yigam segula lekabalas ha'tefilos. When a person davens in such a way, it's a skula that the rest of our tefilos will be heard. That word skula, it's a trigger word. Maybe just for me. But that word skula, we don't mean skula here as in shortcut. Skula is not shtick. Skula is not something that you can mindlessly do and you don't have to care about anything else. What he means is that if you daven in such a way, all your tefillah is elevated, is enriched. All of it is more powerful. When your heart is looking up to heaven, when you want more, so your tefillah ascends with it. If you're looking down, again, Rav David Avichatzer is expressing, looking down means material, physical, and satisfied, done. Looking up means spiritual, more growth, aspiration. So if you're looking up, if you have great ambition spiritually, when you look up, boom, you send your tefillos, sonic speed, straight up. Not nitan laham litzakach, es hanemar b'yishaya. V'ya terem yikru v'ani aneh, odeh medabrim v'ani yashma, terem yikru kolan hitz, Ruchusam begashmias v'ruchnias v'ani e'aneh. Next page. Gam im bakashasam nimtzeis b'machshavtam bavad. Kim zeh l'shem shamayni mal bakashasam. Achim od heim medabrim bakashasam mi'at tosefes v'od v'ani eshma evdok l'mam yuadis bakashasam. Im l'ruchnias amali bakashasam. Achim begashmias kvar amarnu ala arz mitachas einod. The Taich, the translation of that pasuk brilliantly is, again, Hashem looks and he says, why are you asking for that thing? Are you looking for the physical in that thing or the spiritual? Why do you want a bigger house? Do you want a bigger house to host more people? Do you want a bigger house to host more parlor meetings? Do you want a bigger house to coordinate more chesed? Do you want a bigger house because you want more people sitting at your Seder table? The planning of that Pesach is, of course, cleaning the house and making menus and finding a way to pay for matzah. But the most important planning you'll do for Pesach is figuring out who might be alone if you don't invite them. Who needs an invitation? Who deserves your company? How can you open up your home? How can we make sure that we're going to share the bounty and the plenty and what we have with others? The Pesach preparation is not just about cleaning the physical. It's about who can I call that I haven't spoken to for too long? How can I clean out the chametz of selflessness in my life? That's part of the Pesach prep. So why do I want this house? And Hashem, help me earn the income that I can buy the Pesach things. Why? For myself or to invite and host others? Why? Why do I want all these things? Hashem examines what's underneath that request for that gashmias. We daven for our health, our mobility, our well-being. Why? Hashem says, why are you asking for those things? Because you want it for you? You just want to get back on the tennis courts and the golf course? You just want it for you to go on vacation? Or you want it because you realize you have a mission and a purpose. I've said this in many contexts and I'll repeat it. Our entire davening is not only transformed in our presence, mindfulness, and sincerity when we say it, it's transformed in where it goes and how it's received when the driver of our davening is not about us. It's not ego, but it's Elokus. In other words, imagine the boss calls you and says, I have an assignment for you. I have a critical mission for you. You say fantastic. I'm all in. I'm ready. I accept it upon myself. But I need an expense account. How am I going to get where I'm supposed to go to do it? Will you pay for the ticket? And food allocation and other expenses that will be needed for the mission. So when a person says to Hashem, I'm here in this world for a mission. Life is not about me. It's about what I can do for you. But Hashem, there are expenses. And I can't do it if you don't help me with it. So please help me earn an income and help me do well so I can use it all and dedicate it. I don't mean give it away. Live in a big, beautiful house and drive a wonderful car and wear beautiful things. But all of that doing to be an agent and ambassador of Hashem, Do it to be a Kiddush Hashem in this world. Do it to interact with others and draw them close to Him. We're learning in Siddur snippets now, Kedusha. Nikadesh Hashemcha Barabim. Kedusha, according to some, might be a key, a fulfillment of the biblical obligation to make a Kiddush Hashem. When you respond to Kedusha and we turn to one another and we say, Nikadesh Hashemcha Barabim, I am prepared and committed. I affirm my responsibility to sanctify you in this world. It means I walk around, I am a brand ambassador. I represent God. And the way people will interact will either bring them close or not bring them close to Him. It's a brand ambassador. Everybody's talking, so I might as well also. Zevi Samet, the great basketball player of YU the last 4 years, who in the Sweet 16, YU has never gotten further, farthest they ever got, Division III this year, scored, I think, 43 points in that final game, wears a big keep on his head every game, is such a mensch, and used his place on that team and being an absolute superstar to promote and share Divrei Torah, to try to spiritually elevate his teammates, many of whom took on greater observance throughout their time playing with him on team, coaches, opponents who saw the Kiddush Hashem that he is. Superstar basketball? Absolutely. Hashem gave him talents and gifts, and he's worked hard to hone them. Absolutely. He's a fantastic young man. We had him on Behind the Beam a couple years ago, maybe last year, and it's worth listening. He's a fantastic young man. But he said, why do I have these basketball? Just to play basketball? No. Hashem, you gave me talents and skills. You gave me the ability to play ball. I'm going to use that to be a brand ambassador. I'm going to wear that yarmulke on my head when so many others throw it off while they play sports. I'm going to be disciplined and regulate the way I act and react on the court and off of it. I'm going to use the spotlight and the microphone for the talents and skills you've given to tell everyone about Hashem and share Divrei Torah on a regular basis. Really extraordinary, extraordinary Kiddush Hashem. Some people are wowed by his basketball, and that's worth being wowed by. Super, super impressive. Not nearly as impressive to me as his Kiddush Hashem. Much more impressive. Much, much more impressive. That's a choice that he made about how he was going to use it. And that's a choice each of us have. And the talents, the skills, the gifts, the opportunities, the invitations that we have, the resources, the time, the energy, Hashem gave it to us. And we need it, because if we're going to fulfill our mission, we have to have an expense account. So coming back to davening, when we turn to Him and we ask, what are we asking for? Hashem, I like nice things, so please make me have a lot of money. Hashem, I enjoy feeling healthy, so please let all my parts work. Or is the tefillah, Hashem, when my knee hurts and I need it replaced, I can't get to shul to daven to you. I can't attend the shiurim and feel close to you. I can't make and deliver food to help other of your children. So please help my knees and my hips and my joints. Help me get over this cold or this flu. Help me feel well so I can serve you. That is a categorically different tefillah. Our prayer is entirely different. It's with purpose when it is couched in the context of, Hashem, I'm asking for these things not for me, but how can I best serve you? Of course, if you're healthy and serve Him, you'll also feel good and enjoy it. Hashem wants us to. He wants us to. Of course, if you have a big, beautiful house and you can host others, you're also entitled to enjoy it. Enjoy. Of course, if you have a car and you offer rides and carpool and you're delivering things to people who need and you're using it in wonderful ways, you could also enjoy that it's plush and it's heated and it's cool and it's this feature and that. Enjoy. And He wants us to enjoy, but He wants us to enjoy in the context of serving Him. It's all about how we serve Him. And so he looks and he examines each of our tefillah, says Rav David Avuchatzera. That's the taich, Terem Yikru Vani Aneh, Odhei Medabrim Vani Yeshma. Odhei Medabrim, while they're speaking, says Hashem, I check. What are they really saying? Ego or Elokus? What are they really asking for? For themselves or to serve me? What's this really all about? What's it really all about? How are we living our lives? That's what this is all about. Nishmasi, my soul. Is my soul on fire? Am I a body? Am I a soul? Am I in a relationship with Him? Am I living for me? Am I living for others? What is my life really all about? And here's the crazy thing. I just said it in Tanya Shir this morning. I'm going to keep saying it and keep writing about it. And I'm just working on it for myself. And I hope it'll help and inspire others. Here's the crazy thing. When you live for ego, for yourself, and you think that's going to bring the greatest happiness, it's the opposite. The people who are living for themselves, who are driven by ego, are the most unhappy, depressed, anxious, miserable. And when a person lives for Elokus, when a person lives for a mission and a purpose, and why am I here and doing for others, they find the greatest happiness. The greatest happiness, the greatest purpose, the greatest fulfillment, the greatest tranquility, the greatest peace of mind. The greatest peace of mind. If you're feeling miserable, and there are reasons to, certainly don't judge or blame anyone who does. People who face, as we read, chronic pain and chronic illness. If you've ever had, I saw someone in Shul this morning, said, I won't be at the Tanya Shir. I have a root canal. I got to go to the dentist early this morning. Ooh. Have you ever had a toothache? Now imagine the pain of that toothache never subsides. You never get relief, and it can never be healed. And you're just living chronically with pain. People who live with chronic pain, that's what they're living with. So when they seem a little bit off kilter, when they seem a little bit short with you, when they seem a little bit, they could have been a little bit nicer, don't judge them. You have no idea, or maybe you do, what it's like to live with chronic pain. To live with chronic pain, the sympathy and empathy we should have for the people who live that way, with chronic pain, and still have emuna, and still daven, extraordinary. But a person who's living not with chronic physical pain, a person is feeling down and out, depressed, anxious, worried, doesn't know what will be, you want to break out of it? Here's the advice. It's not mine. It's what mental health professionals are giving more and more and more. Volunteer. There are a group of women who, after this year, which is about to end, every Wednesday morning now, they go from here. You don't even have to go outside. You don't even have to get wet. You don't even have to travel far. They go from here to the closet. I don't mean the custodial closet. They go to what we have now at BRS called the closet, which is a great effort. People are donating gently used clothing or brand new clothing they never wore. We talked about how you should clean your closet. And if there's ever a time of year, it's this. I think we're doing our Pesach workshop this Sunday morning, where I will give my usual diatribe, polemic, rhetoric about how it's not spring cleaning, it's Pesach cleaning. If you want to do spring cleaning, that's just to make Tamar Meyer happy. It's not for Hashem. Pesach cleaning is for Hashem, and they're very different standards of halacha. But this is the time of year that people go through, and you can do one of two things with it. You can just throw that clothing away. It can still sit and clutter your home, or you can give it to our closet, which is then open for people who come and shop and pay $1, $3, $5. Closet, I think, already is only open twice and brought in maybe $5,000, $6,000, $7,000. It's bringing in money that's helping other people. It's helping people clean, and it's helping people go into Yontif with gently or brand new clothing they otherwise would not necessarily be able to afford. What a beautiful win-win-win mitzvah, called the closet. Similarly, on Wednesday mornings, you can volunteer for Shefa. Shefa means an abundance, a flow from Hashem. It's also which is extra food, food rescue. So many people cater events, have simchas, Baruch Hashem, have things. And I was at a dinner of a school dinner last night. There was so much food. I said, I hope you're calling Shefa. So much left. You know how many people? Hundreds, thousands of containers have been filled with those food that have fed hundreds of family, all without anyone spending any money, because it's held at BRS. There's no overhead, thanks to the generosity of this community, both these projects. But you know what both of them rely on? The reason they have no expenses? Both of them rely on volunteers. Volunteers. The group of women, Yocheved included, who stay after every week on Wednesday to go to the closet or also help for Shefa, will tell you that they walk away not feeling like I gave, but I got. It just added meaning to Wednesday morning. Could you have a better Wednesday morning? Make a cup of coffee in Reb Shaila's corner. Have a pastry or slushy. Come to the Emunah Shir. Nourish your soul. And then go volunteer and live a mission and purpose for others. Your Wednesday is made. What a morning. Wow. What a morning. Unbelievable. But that volunteering, you don't say, when I volunteer for others, now I feel worse. Nobody ever said that. Ever. It makes a person feel awake, alive, feel good, feel they're giving, feel they're living a mission, a purpose, and for others. And Hashem is looking. So says Rav David Chatzera, when we're going and turning to Davin, then ask ourselves, as we're saying those words, again, part of the agenda, we put out a reel the other day about, because we've said it here, look at your calendar. If you don't think you have anything to Davin for, look at your calendar. What you have on tap that day will determine how you're going to daven, how you're going to daven. But the other thing to look at in ourselves when we daven is, why am I asking for this? Whatever I'm asking for, why am I asking for it? And if I can couch it and deliver it, if I can communicate it as a Dashem, I'm davening because I want to be your brand ambassador. I'm your agent. I'm here to serve you. And I want to be, in order to be the best one to serve you, then I need your help. I need your help. So this is our mission and purpose. You can volunteer now if you can't make it this week, or you can find another way or reason to volunteer. You can do it elsewhere, 100%. I am personally guaranteeing you that you will feel you got a lot more than you gave. You will feel alive if you live for Elokus, not for ego. And then you bring that same attitude and feeling into your davening. Your davening is going to be altogether different, and you're going to want to daven and look forward to it much, much more. May we hear besoros tovos, yeshuas v'nechamos. May we hear only good news, peace, and tranquility for our people. Okay.